and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. I'm Chris Lucian, and I'm joined here with my co-host, Austin Chadwick. And today, our guest is Harald Reingruber. And he is here with us because he's got a really interesting experience that he just had, and I guess is in the middle of, at the end of, so to speak. And that is a pair programming and mob programming tour. So maybe you can explain, what the tour, maybe the original intent of the tour, and then maybe the post COVID-19 version of the tour was, and how everything turned out for you. We'd just love to hear your story.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show. It started already. Well, with the idea of the tour actually was born. I had in my head that I want to go to the US, to California. Actually, I wanted to go to Silicon Valley, and because I was there a couple of years ago, and it really attracted me there. And I wanted to find out how the people are working. I saw that there is a slight difference in mentality, and that really made me curious. And I already had some previous ideas. I was considering, taking a couple of months off and applying for an internship. But also the visa issue is really a difficult topic. And then a year ago, a friend of mine in Austria, he did a similar tour in Austria. And through his blog, I found out about that doing a coding tour is a thing. It's not necessarily a big thing. So it's still an uncommon thing to do. But then I found out about those other people who did something similar, and I thought, like, that's such a great idea. And so the original idea is, like, it's kind of inspired by the medieval craftsmen who are doing in Germany. It's called going on a waltz. The journeymans visiting other masters to, after learning the craft, to perfectionate the craft, so to speak.
So it's intentional learning, right? And you were inspired by others who had also gone and this is visiting individuals and groups for basically programming together in order to refine your craft. And this might be jumping forward a little bit, but do you feel like going from place to place, like in the whole process, was it helpful to, like, did you have that effect? Like, I want to talk about it now because we're kind of on the topic, but did it have that effect? Like, have your skills improved over the course of this?
Oh, wow. Interesting question. I would say yes, but I think I would really know it afterwards, because I'm still in the middle of the tour. Yeah. So I'm still in the pairing or mobbing every week with a different developer or a different team. Yeah. So I'm still in the learning phase. Actually thinking about it, I was mobbing with you at your company, and then I was mobbing at another location as well. And I realized that I already could make use of the things I learned at your place. So yeah, it did help me already.
That's fantastic. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the story. Sorry, I was eager to hear about that, because if that was the original intention, I will usually grab on to, like, if somebody says, hey, this is the original intention, I'll say, well, was your intention met, or did you pivot, or what did you do? So that's cool.
Yeah, I find it cool to tie into Knight's And they're training because me and my kids are reading through knight medieval history right now. So yeah, please continue. So that was your motivation, right, to kick it off. So tell us about you know, the logistics and trying to get the tour going, and then maybe we'll, after that, we'll jump into your first week with me and my mob. So
yeah, absolutely. So yeah, already during the preparation, it was interesting because it's not a really an unconventional thing, at least still. Maybe it changes in the future and we are able to popularize it doing a coding tour. But yeah, so it was quite some effort also to finding people who are open for inviting me for a couple of days. And originally I wanted to do it in person, actually. And so, yeah, I reached out to Amitai Schleyer. He did a similar tour in Germany, and he was immediately like, oh yeah, cool. I can support you. I will help you with my experience. And he helped me to get to know, to reach out to other people, and also Peter Kofler, the friend of mine. He's called the Cult Cop, Peter Kofler, who did the tour in Austria. He also said like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Let's meet every month and see how your preparations are going, and I'll help you coming up with ideas how to make it happen. So that helped really a lot, and I immediately realized when I reached out to people on Twitter, there were other people as well saying, offering their help. So that was really motivating me in the beginning. And yeah, it was really like, I was not used to marketing myself. So that was already a great learning experience to see what the tweet Amitai used to advertise his tour, how to improve my tweets, think about which people I could write. And it was also a little bit painful because there were many unanswered messages and emails. It was actually through the guest appearance of Amitai on your show, actually. Then I thought like, I actually mixed up San Diego and San Jose, and I thought like, oh yeah, San Diego, that's still in the area I want to go. And then I looked it up and realized, oh no, that's like 8 hours.
8 hours away, yeah. It's okay. We had a really interesting experience together. So maybe we could talk a little bit about the beginning of the tour.
Yeah.
Originally you were going to fly out, and that got canceled very abruptly.
We were setting up logistics with Harold, and we had everything worked out. And then you flew in, right? And then I think it was as you were flying in that I gave you the word that like,
this is going to be impossible now.
This is not possible anymore in the COVID times, right? So, and so you were in, did you spend a day in San Diego or?
Yeah, I spent the weekend and a couple, like 4 or 5 days.
So that was kind of a bummer, I bet, huh? You flew here and then you had to go back. So
you told me already that, I won't be able to meet you on site because of your employer's restrictions.
COVID restrictions. Yeah, it was more government related and stuff, like businesses shutting down.
Exactly. And I was traveling before already, and I already had my plane ticket to San Diego. And then I thought like, yeah, okay, that's fine. We can do it online, but I thought like it's still valuable to be in the same time zone.
Yeah.
And for me, I was in South America at that time, and I heard the news from Europe, but I thought like, okay, in the US, it doesn't seem as bad. So I thought like, okay, I will go there and try to understand the situation. But then I quickly realized it was like a week postponed, happening the same thing in the US as well. And then I was already looking up for my flight back.
And then, I mean, and even though everything got backed up a little bit, you know, we had a fantastic time having you in our mob for a week. You wrote a blog about your experiences. And do you want to share a little bit about your experiences with us? Yeah.
I think it was just perfect starting at in your team and learning, because I didn't know before my tour. I only knew very little about mob programming. I heard about it before, but I felt like, okay, it's already hard to convince a team or an employer to do pair programming. So I felt like, okay, mob programming would be even harder. So I didn't actually, for me, it didn't seem very interesting back then. And then I found out about your video cast and your podcast, and I learned more about it. And the experience mobbing with you was really, really great. So it was really well structured, organized. And learning the little details which you wouldn't find in your blog posts or something. Like, I remember the one technique where you said, line 61 and a half, and it meant like add a new line at line number 61. And it was so awesome. It's such
a subtlety,
such an interesting trick, but it's so helpful at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say was the, you know, kind of becoming, going from being skeptic to being thrown into the environment doing it? What were the most important things that you learned in that experience?
Yeah, I think experiencing the whole flow, that's the really crucial part. If you only hear from it in the from the outside, then it's really, you're skeptical, can it be still efficient? But when you realize that once you're doing it and you that you have a constant flow of coding, I think that's the crucial part was it for me.
Awesome.
You can feel the flow.
I was gonna say, so that you know, you're talking about flow as in the sense of like there's an item that needs to be put into the software in production, and we just thought of it and we're gonna get it from idea to in production kind of all in one go, right? Is that what you're talking about when you refer to flow?
Well, I guess there are multiple things. So one of the whole talking about one idea, generating new ideas from the other mobbers, that on the one side, but also on the other side, like, part of the team focusing on the nitty-gritty details, but somebody else still having the big picture in mind. So like how the people complete each other, and that, because that's like what you struggle most of the time as a developer, that you have to dive in so deeply, and then sometimes it's hard to switch back to high level and going back and forth between high level and low level. And yeah, that was really amazing.
Fantastic. So where did you go from there? What did you do next? And maybe what was the contrast, things like that maybe, or just like, what else did you learn along the way?
Yeah, it was also interesting to see, all experiences were quite different. So I've worked with solo developers doing JavaScript and 3.js. And I was visiting another company, also working with TypeScript. And I think, I really liked it. that to experience all this different style of working and also training the different skills needed in the different context. With Fabien, he was doing prototyping in Mozilla Hubs, which is based on A-Frame. And he was like only programming in the JavaScript console because there was no API, and he is doing research and trying to figure out how this technology is used. So it's not, the context is different. It's not about creating production-ready software, but still he said that, or both of us, we had gained a lot of value of pairing together because we could combine our different ideas and approaches. And I like that a lot, that, well, if you are in the context of creating production-ready code, then it was really interesting to train TDD or pair programming or mock programming. And then at another time, it was just creating prototypes, and we tried to work around the limitations, not having an API for the thing we wanted to achieve, and just within a couple of hours or even less, having something visible to be able to show it to somebody else. I really like that. Yeah.
Fantastic. I noticed on your tour, you did a lot of different types of test-driven development in different technologies. Austin and I are known to be fans of craftsmanship and TDD. So maybe could you talk a little bit about the differences between the different test-driven development experiences you had between all these different people that you visited?
Yeah, good question. So let me think. Yeah, so it was very often JavaScript, TypeScript, and with Adrian, we were creating, we both actually were learning Flutter and Dart, so neither of us had experience with that language. But Dart is quite similar to JavaScript as well, because I think Google created it. It should be a replacement or a competitor to JavaScript. So I would say the experience was quite similar. But I liked Dart better because it was like more, more one language, and the JavaScript ecosystem, because the language is so old, I like it because the community is so big, and I like also being able, you can write nice, clean JavaScript code, or even better, TypeScript code, but with Flutter and Dart, it's a little bit more strict, and which solves some problems you can get into in JavaScript. And with Peter Kofler, we were both of us were experimenting and researching doing TDD with Unity 3D, and that was of course quite different because doing test-driven development in a game engine,
it's very is different.
it's a little bit more difficult, but it was interesting as well because after a while we developed some patterns and realized, so very often we were starting with an integration test because that was always when we were trying to test our game we created, it was always the question, okay, how can we test that? And there are always multiple levels on where you could test that. And so often we decided, okay, let's start with an integration test. And afterwards we think about, could we refactor that and only do a unit test instead? Yeah.
So was that the humble object pattern by any chance? Was there any humble object pattern, you know?
I would have to check if there are similarities.
Yeah, okay.
Right on. So yeah, another thing, you got to see lots of different styles of TDD, different languages, but also I noticed looking at your tour, and we'll put this in the show notes, by the way, the link to his blog post about the tour, the overall tour, and then the individual places he's blogged about, is that you started mobbing with some of us, and then you went to pairing, and then you went back to mobbing, and then it looks like you're doing pairing again. So yeah, I mean, someone who it's pretty fresh switching back and forth between mobbing and pairing. Any observations, compare and contrast, you know, things you like, didn't like about one versus the other, you know, just be fascinating for me to get your raw reactions and on that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So what I noticed, joining a mob is a lot less disruptive, you know, like I'm joining people on their everyday work. So that's also, I think, one of the barriers when I ask for people if they want to invite me joining them, because if they don't do pairing, pair programming, then they need to change their style of working, and probably they would need to spend a little bit of time also for, I don't know, introducing me a little bit, but most of the time I was able to catch up and well, basically we were just focusing on the task at hand, and the other person knows, you know, the environment, and I could follow that. But it was, so, well, and the assumption is that it's still, both of us, it's still valuable for both of us, so the time investment is fine regarding the expected outcome. But when you do mob programming, then this is almost not really an issue, because you're rotating all the time, and it's so three of a quarter of the time I was following the rest of you. And every once in a while, I even then was able to throw in different ideas, or I don't know, contribute a little bit. But like your normal workflow was continuing almost as normal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so even with John Nicholas, who did pairing in his real time, in his normal work as well, it was different for him, a little bit more disruptive for him, because he needs to show me around the project and so on. And we would need to figure out what is a good way of working together.
Yeah,
and that was also less of an issue when it comes to mob programming, because I really understood. I think you mentioned it somewhere already on your show that it's the collaboration,
the date, and the Netflix, and the
exactly.
Yeah, so that quote is working by yourself is or programming by yourself is like watching Netflix at home. Mob programming is like going to the movies with friends, and pair programming is like going on a date. I don't remember who I heard that from. That was a quote from somebody else, but I can't remember the origin. So if anybody remembers who told me that, please speak up so I can attribute you.
Yeah, I think it was a similar experience when I was mobbing with the team of Mike Clement. It was just really easy to join the mob, and after a while, I was able to figure out how they were working, and it was not very disruptive for them having me on board. Yeah. So that was really interesting, and I think that could be really valuable when you have to bring up to speed new team members for the onboarding.
Yeah, and I think pairing and mobbing both have fantastic benefits. And we pair on occasion when, you know, someone has to drop off the mob or this or that. And so pairing is still fantastic. I'm just always interested in the people's experience of the differences. So another follow-up question I had for you, and maybe I'll share a little bit of my experience. So before being in a mob programming organization, I was a little more single focused as far as languages go, programming languages. And so, you know, I was pretty much in one lane for like 5 years and then another lane for like 10 years. And then being in a place that mobs, and then I switched, been on three different mobs, three different products. And even one of those mobs had like 20 different products. I had to switch languages, I think, multiple times within a couple of year span. And it was really informative to see that. And I'm looking at your list here, and I'm seeing many different languages, and you've already mentioned some of them. Was there any observations about similarities, differences? For me, the differences were stark, but one thing that I came to learn was clean code is clean code, and code is code at the end of the day. You know, when you see a lot of them in, you know, in a short amount of time, you start to realize there's a lot in common, more than I thought. I don't know. So that was my raw reaction. I was interested in yours after seeing a lot of different technologies and languages. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with clean code. So you can make the small functions, no matter if you do object-oriented programming or functional programming. So yeah, so if you never did functional programming before, that was for me a couple of years ago when I dove into the JavaScript, TypeScript domain. That was new to me, and that was a little bit, took a while to take on the patterns and understand the benefit. But yeah, you're right. That I think that it's like when you speak a language, if you learn the second, the third, or the fourth language, it gets easier. Maybe that's the same with programming languages. When you switch to a completely different paradigm, then it's still difficult. But if you switch to another object-oriented language or another functional language, then it's not so difficult. And that was actually why learning Dart was actually quite easy. We still had to look up the syntax every once in a while, but after understanding the small differences, the rest of it was almost the same as a JavaScript. That was really cool.
Awesome.
So I almost feel like, Chris, there's a tie-in to our previous episode on the Satir change model. So it's like the first Satir for learning a language is tough, or switching into a new mob, or joining a new team. But the more and more you do it, the easier and easier it becomes that you kind of build those muscles to learn a new language, learn a new domain, learn a new whatever, right?
Well, it also just depends on how much you're changing, right? So the Satir change model will be accentuated by the number of changes. And so Harold's point is fantastic in that learning one object-oriented language and then going to another is going to be much easier than learning a object-oriented language and then going to functional language or functional paradigm, right? And so the number of changes that occur directly affect how deep the Satir change model dip goes, or the J curve dip goes. And so minimizing the number of variables that you can change at the same time will likely increase your success, unless you jump into chaos. And it, sometimes it's valuable because you can eliminate plateaus, right? And so there's a lot of this, a lot of that idea there, where being exposed to many different things, well, you'll learn, you'll get diminishing returns on all the different languages that you learn that are all object oriented, right? But you'll get a lot of learning out of going from object oriented to functional or other paradigms like that. I like the idea.
Mm. Yeah, that was me, Adrian and me experienced as well. For I had some experience with React Native before, so that was not a big huge difference when we were using Flutter, which is kind of a similar concept. And but for him, he never did mobile development before. So I realized that it was for him more difficult also to get used to the language, because he was like struggling with multiple things at the same time.
Yeah.
And So
the on activity, sleep and return and things like that, like the whole ecosystem of a single view on a mobile app is completely different than the life cycle of a desktop app, which is completely different than the life cycle of a web page, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Cool. So one other follow-up question I had, and then that might round out my questions, but was I noticed day one when you were mobbing with us, you didn't know the domain, you didn't know the tech stack, but you immediately started contributing, you know, and, you know, so you could navigate something and we could fill in the details, like, oh, maybe put the loading spinner here instead of here, maybe test it that way instead of this way. I was wondering, looking at all your things on the tour, there was quite a bit of different domains going on as well. Was there any similar experiences, or was it different because the domain was so different, or how did it go learning the domain of whoever you were working with? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting question. So I needed some time to think about it, because the domain, of course, were always very different. And yeah, like with John Nicholas, it's, well, sometimes you just look at one very specific problem, and you don't need to know a lot about the domain. And I guess also because of the pairing or mobbing, the other half or the other part of the team of the mob knew the domain anyway. So sometimes I was just contributing by asking the right questions or picking the people to think into a different, what could go wrong or something. But for example, with John Nicholas, we were improving a class which was responsible for executing regex patterns or text files. And so he knew enough about the domain. He explained me why this is important and what we are trying to achieve here. And all the others were just, the rest of it was just focusing on the task and figuring out how to get to the solution. And yeah.
Fantastic.
It kind of brings to mind the image of, you know, if you're lifting, you know, a water bottle, you can do it alone, but if you're lifting a couch, it helps to have multiple people, you know, helping out with it, right? And so you don't need to know how to lift the whole couch. You just need to know to lift your part that you're helping with, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
with when you were mobbing with Mike Clement, in that scenario, was there any like were there any like differences between the mobs that you were on during your tour?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, we need to get Mike on the show too. So, Mike, if you're watching,
yeah, he's in Eastern Time Zone. Let's see if we can call him right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the well, actually, Mike himself wasn't really part of the mob, but he introduced me to the mob in. At his company, and it was working very well. Yeah, because now the tour being remote, the time zone difference was also a little bit an issue, and they had one mob which spanned multiple time zones, so it was also easier for me to join them. That was one thing. And they themselves also said like they don't follow very strict patterns, and that worked very well for them. So they were like a little bit more flexible when to, well, we used the timer. I think we had a 10 minutes timer switching the navigator. Or the driver. We were switching the driver actually, but it was not, it was more freestyle who is the navigator. Yeah, so it was more multiple navigators style mobbing. Yeah, I noticed that. And it also made me realize, well, it was also when I was pairing with the different people. Sometimes we were trying to be more structured and more strict, and sometimes, like with Adrian, we were basically very freestyle pairing, and whoever had an idea took the keyboard, and we were. And I think what I learned from that is, if you work well together and if both of you are experienced, or I guess the most important thing is if it works well, then you can be more freestyle. But I think if you're struggling, then it's good to know how to be more, to work more structured.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting to me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, this is all very interesting.
Sorry, yeah. One interesting thing is with the remote mobbing setup that the Mike Clement came up with an idea to create the cloud instance.
Yeah.
Connected with remote desktop. And that worked really well because sometimes the lag, to be able to drive as well, sometimes the lag is really makes it difficult. But with remote desktop, even though I was connecting from Europe to the East Coast in the US, the latency was barely noticeable. And also the switching over the driver role was frictionless because the other person just connect to the same machine and could continue from where I left.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We have a model as well now that we're all remote. Of putting machines in a data center and connecting to them all remotely that way.
But,
okay. Yeah, that's a really great way of kind of leveling the playing field between people who are remote and not. Because I think in the past when we had just one person remote, that's always been more difficult because of the difference in experience. And so getting the experience for each person to be as even as possible has been a primary focus, I think. And that's been really a positive outcome for that. So I'm glad to hear that they're doing that too.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to yes and to that, when you, the first thing we were surprised by when you started mobbing with us was, we were doing that same pattern Chris was talking about, that the latency of the video and controlling the mob station remotely was pretty much no different from, you know, me and the other mobber who were, you know, miles apart and you who were oceans apart. And so that was shocking to all of us. And so that was cool. And I just also wanted to yes and that, you know, my current mob likes the more strict mobbing, and I've been on mobs where it's been more loose, and, you know, you keep turning up the good, and what works for that team is awesome. So.
Right. And that's, it's good to remain dynamic. Whatever works for that mob is really important, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's good to experiment different styles. Yeah,
for sure. Well, maybe it's time to close it out. We're coming close to our time box.
Yep.
So I just wanted to say a big thanks before I turn it over to you for something, for anything you'd like to share or plug. You know, my mob, the team members on my mob, we had a fantastic time with you. We loved having you. I remember on the last day, I think you were a part of this little like exit meeting, Chris, but one of our mobbers was like, can Harold stay? Is there any way? you were definitely much appreciated. Not only the mobbing you contributed to our work, but you also did some fantastic learning sessions that people from other mobs came and joined us with. So that was really cool. And I think that's detailed in your blog. But to round out the show, is there anything you'd like to plug or share before we close out?
Yeah. First of all, it was really an awesome time for me joining your mod, and it was, I had a blast, and it was really constant learning. What I want to share is, if somebody ever is interested in doing a coding tour, check out my blog article. You will also find the references to other people who did a similar thing, and really reach out. People are always happy to help out and support the idea. It's a little bit of an effort to do, but still it's really valuable. And I learned already so much during the preparation. If I wouldn't succeed, I would have been already happy with what I learned before. That's my main message I want to share, actually.
Fantastic. So I'll just kind of pile onto that. So from the other side of it, if you're in a leadership role that can actually accept these sorts of things to happen in your organizations, I think it's a valuable experience for both the team and the person visiting, because what happens is you get an outside look and feedback to the team, maybe directly or indirectly, from, you know, kind of fresh eyes who have seen other environments. And so by supporting initiatives like this, you can basically get a fresh perspective, or the team can get a fresh perspective on where things either can be improved or new technologies they haven't been thinking about, you know, get learning sessions that the visitor puts together. It can have really positive effects. And so we've been doing, you know, visit style stuff, I think, for 7 or 8 years now. You know, myself or the team has learned something really important with each of our visitors. And so I would just encourage people in leadership roles to start doing more of these kind of maybe cross company or, you know, cross country, cross, you know, organization, whatever, visits and international visits or whatever too. And just get the comparing and contrasting. You can kind of see how over time, gradually, that'll level up your teams significantly. So that's my share to that and my add-on to that.
I guess you could do a whole episode about why and how.
that's a good suggestion.
It would be cool if you would share the experiences you had in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good idea. Maybe we'll add that to the queue. Yeah. Well, with that, please like and subscribe. Please share this, YouTube video or this podcast with someone you think would be inspired by Harold and his journey, and by hearing about his pairing and mobbing and the different things he's learned. And maybe it'll inspire more and more collaboration in ways that are beyond just conferences and the traditional ways of collaboration, you know. And so It'd be great to see more of this happening because there's so much good came from mobbing with Harold, and we learned so much. But until next time, like and subscribe, and we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
See you. Thanks for having me. Bye.